times in fiqh.
Okay,
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man ittaqa. So we're talking about Gumby, and the phrase in particular, Semper Gumby, how two really odd statements come to make a meaning that is, you know, useful. Semper Fidelis. Okay, this is the part, the shortened version of the Marine Corps model. Semper Fidelis. Fidelis is anglicized as fidelity. Semper is in Latin, it is always, in Spanish, siempre. It means always faithful. Okay? Meaning you can trust on the Marine Corps. You can trust on the Marines. They are always faithful. Always do their job. But we used to say, it's not true. When we were in Marine Corps, we used to say, Semper Gumby. That's a better model for us in the Marine Corps. And what does it mean? Always flexible. From Gumby, the candy that you, the taffy that you chew, and it stretches. And I've kept that model because that's the model for success. Semper Gumby. You always got to be flexible. And part of fiqh, and the reason why I'm mentioning this in fiqh, is because people have a wrong idea of how to get fiqh. What is fiqh? Fiqh, what is fiqh? Somebody give me a quick informational explanation. Quickly.
Understanding of what Allah has ordered.
Okay, he said, understanding what Allah has intended. What did you say, Mr. Omar? Assalamu alaikum.
I think we said the same thing, Sheikh. I said understanding what Allah has ordered, and he said what understanding what Allah has intended.
Okay. But fiqh from a linguistic perspective is more comprehensive. And it means profound understanding. Okay? Profound understanding. And that you can grab things from your life experiences and put them into practice as part of your personal fiqh. So I took that statement, Semper Gumby, okay, always flexible, that I learned in the Marine Corps while we're waiting for the helicopters to come, while we're waiting for the artillery to bang the guys up that are trying to kill us or actually shooting us down, you know, while we're waiting, while we're changing, where they told us we're going one way, then they changed it and we're going another way, right? That we always, in order to keep your sanity, always be Semper Gumby. Always be Semper Gumby. Always be ready to be flexible, right? To be adapt, to meet the other person officially halfway. Okay? Don't be rigid. Because if you're rigid, you break. And I used to look, when I was in Florida, to aid this fiqh understanding. In Florida, a lot of people may not realize, but tornadoes and hurricanes come through every year. And you can look as you're driving down the swamp, you can see the trees for miles. Some of them are broken. Some of them are leaning. There are places where there's been whipped around, but you always see the palm trees are standing up tall. All the oak trees, all the strong trees have broken pieces. Why? They're even pulled up by their roots because they were not flexible. But all the palm trees have bent over when that wind came, and when it was gone, it popped back up. Okay? So this is the way I suggest for myself. Always be flexible. Again, what supports this? We have to find something in the Quran, in the Sunnah, that supports this. Tilka ayyamun udawwiluha bayna an-nas. These are the vicissitudes of life. One day is for you. One day is against you. One day things are easy. One things are difficult. And this, the person has to be ready to accept both days, the rain and the sunshine. As a talib al-ilm, when I went to Mauritania, we learned the same thing. Semper Gumby, always be flexible. And this was put to us in that poem. وَنَحْنُ رَكْبٌ مِنَ الْأَشْرَافِ مُنْتَظِمٌ أَجَلَّ ذَا الْعَصْرِ قَدْرًا دُونَ أَدْنَانَا قَدْ اتَّخَذْنَا ظُهُورِ الْعِيسِ مَدْرَسَةً فِيهَا نُبَيِّنُ دِينِ اللَّهِ تِبْيَانًا And we are a bunch of riders, travelers, right? Muntadimun, yani we're notable, we're organized, we know how to go from place to place and get things done. Ajalla dhal asri qadaran duna adnana, even the youngest, least capable of us is not tricked by these modern new standards or the best so-called person that they got out today. They're not tricked by the Trumps and the Bidens and the Blidens and whoever else is out there, the Netanyahus. They're not tricked by that or impressed with people because they have quote-unquote influence and delusional power. We've taken the backs of our camels as our schools. That's the flexibility point. Because when you're on the backs of your Land Cruisers, your backs of your planes, the backs of your Bajajs and your cars and your tic-tics, you know, and you're running around the world, around the city, you're still getting your lessons in. You're still reading 10 to 20 pages of Quran a day. You're still reading 10 pages of ahadith, authentic hadith, every day. You're still contemplating on how to apply the deen and all the other aspects of your life. You're still offering 5 salah fi waqtiha in its time, and you've arranged that. You get my point? So we are taking the backs of our camels as our school. Fiha nubayyinu deenillahi tibyanan. In these schools, on the backs, as we travel, no matter where we go, we find time to sit down and make time to learn. We take time to go through the deen of Allah tibyanan, piece by piece, line by line, word for word, so that we can understand concept by concept and natafaqqahu fi deen, and get better in our profound understanding what was intended, what Allah wanted us to understand from the Quran. And that's the first thing, is that you must get it in while life does not stop. Okay? It does not slow down. It does not give you a break because you are a talib al-ilm. You still have to deal with life as it is. The same challenges that the crackhead has, you have. The same challenges the non-Muslim, the person who is Muslim, who's not praying, the same challenges as the Russian, the same challenges as the Brazilian, the same challenges as the Vietnamese, the same challenges as the Canadian, all have, you have. Okay? And you still got to get your Quran and your Sunnah in every day. Semper Gumby. You guys get my point? That's your fiqh. You know, general lesson for today. Any questions about that? I have a question. Why is it important to have a phrase like that to refer to? What's the benefit? Ahmed? Baraka? Umar? Tughrul?
I would say, did you ask me or Ahmed?
All of you. Go ahead, answer, Umar.
I would say that's a good phrase to have because it's like a qaida. It's a principle you can always live by. You always remember it. It's short, straight to the point. It's catchy.
Okay, so you caught some of it, but you didn't answer why it's good to have a phrase. Okay, what's the benefit of having a phrase that you repeat sometimes?
To always remember.
Okay, but what? How does it always remember? What's the benefit of remembering it? No answer?
Bismillah. Having a phrase like that, a short phrase, like they call it a mantra. Some people call it a mantra. It always keeps the concept close to your mind.
Okay, it's true. What you all have said is true. But the purpose for... We call it a mission statement as well, okay? Because it helps you realize where you should be focusing, okay? It helps you realign yourself no matter what's going on. Let's say you guys are saying, okay, we got class at 1 o'clock, let's say, 1 o'clock. And then It just so happens that the sheikh says, oh, I can't make it at 1 o'clock. We have to do it in an hour. You say, oh, man, stinking goddamn, you know, you start cussing and getting all upset. You're overtight. Then somebody comes and says, hey, Semper Gumby. You say, SubhanAllah. You're right. It reminds you, Semper Gumby. Turn back around. Realign yourself. Remember, this is part of our principles that personally we always have to have. One of them. These are one of our fickles. Semper Gumby. Remember that. Semper Gumby. Oh, you run to it. Does that make sense why you have a little phrase like that?
Yes, sir.
I didn't even see how this could be used in HD head.
It's in everything, Ahi. That's, see, a statement that's worth something can be used metaphysically and physically. What is one of them I always give you guys? I give you the phrase, pay attention to what?
Pay attention to detail.
Okay. I always say pay attention to what, and I expect you guys to say details. Then I say, what are details?
Small things.
The small things. Okay? That helps you in ijtihad. That helps you in everything. Okay? You're studying, and then you make them say attention to details. You laugh at yourself. You say, man, I didn't pay attention. I broke the rule. I didn't pay attention to details. What are details? The small things. I was looking at the big things. Attention to details. You know? These are types of things that you, we say technique, Ranger. I'm teaching some people something and they want to do it another way. I say technique, Ranger. Follow the technique. You say, oh man, technique, Ranger. Remember, technique. These phrases, these mission statements, these qawaid, don't just think in the box of it has to have come directly phrased from the Quran and the Sunnah. This restricts you. You have to think out of the box, but not with outside of the parentheses. What does that mean? Explain it to me. Out of the box, but not outside of the parentheses. Buna? Shukran.
I mean, from what I understand, it means that I don't. You ask me to explain something, I might use the same words you used, but it means to said to think outside the box, but not be inside the box.
Not be inside, but stay within inside. To stay within inside the parentheses. I mean by that the hudud. I meant by that the hudud. You ran away, Umar.
Yes. So what you said, you stay within the parentheses of what's permissible within our Sharia.
Yes.
To make it, what about, like, basically Islamified.
Thank you. That's exactly it. Okay? Anybody else want to add to that? I will add to it. Okay? When I say think outside the box, means don't be restricted by what you see someone else has already, you know, dictated to you and put it in line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't be stopped there. Okay? Go outside there and go look around. What else is there? Okay? As long, meaning, when you're studying to learn about Islam, the box is the Quran, the Sunnah, the lives of the prophets and the Sahaba, right? The history of the world up until today, from the Islamic lens, that's inside the box. Now, outside the box is everyone else's perspective and words and what they say about those same things. What did, now we read about what the Muslim leaders said, how they described the Sahaba and the Prophet. But what, let's read outside there and read other things. You know, what did they say? And is their statement usable? I remember growing up in the church. And it had at every Sunday, not every Sunday, every first Sunday, they would read the Christian creed. And the Christian creed, amongst the ones that the rules that I remember, was amongst the line they made you read, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. And I said, I like that. Okay. I grab that statement and I memorize it. I don't remember anything else from the Christian creed, but I remember that part of the paragraph. To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. So when I started to become a mutafaqih, a student of fiqh, like you guys are, I said, question yourself. There's a principle you hold to. Is it true Islamically? Can you hold on to that principle? So I looked at the principle to be slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation. What would that describe? And I said, that describes someone being gracious. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree.
Okay. So then I looked up.
For sure.
I was,
yes, sir.
Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Now, I was saying for sure, I believe that principle is definitely from our religion.
Okay. Can you quote me where then? If you're so for sure.
لا خير في كثير من النجواكم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو صلاح بين الناس.
Well, how would you make that into, how would you use that? No, left. There's no good in most of your speech except for the one who is commanding someone to do some sadaqah or something that is from the sharia, which is called ma'ruf, easily recognizable good, or rectifying the affairs with people. Because you define that as gracious? Is that what you're referring to?
The last part of islah bin an-nas.
Okay, I get you. I took it from the statement. I agree with you. God, you were going to say more? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, sir. What was the first part of the principle? One more time.
To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. Write it down, guys. Naam. And you can take that from the story of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, where he didn't offend, he didn't get offended by them calling him names and getting him beaten and anything like that. And he forgave them. He said, don't you want Allah to forgive you? And I took it also from the hadith of Abasa, where he says he comes and he's the fourth or the fifth person to enter into Islam. And he goes to the Prophet early in the days and he says, who's with you in this thing? What do you call yourself? He says, a prophet. He says, well, who's with you? He said, a free man and a slave. Referring to Abu Bakr and Bilal. Another said he was referring to Abu Bakr and Zayd. Okay? And he says, well, you know, what is iman? And he said, as-sabru was-samaha. Okay? Having patience or sabr, however we can define that, is very comprehensive. And samaha, being graceful. You know, gracious. Not graceful, gracious. And then, you know, Sheikh Mula, Ali Qari, Mullah Ali Qari, he, in explaining this hadith, he says, as-sabru bil-mafqood was-samhu bil-mawjood, meaning he has sabr with what he has lost, what he doesn't have, and he is gracious with what he has. So I said, this is part of the proof that the principle in that mission statement, that qa'idah, that phrase of reference, okay, is true for Islam, that we are slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation. A man came and pulled the Prophet's shirt, right, and yanked it until he was red in the neck and said to him, Ya Muhammad, you know, somebody said you claim to be a prophet. Is that true? And the Prophet didn't say, get off me, man. He just bent his head toward the guy and said, yes, it's true. Okay, if that's true, then what did Allah order you to do? And he starts to explain to him Islam. He said, well, I'm not going to do more than that. The Prophet never got offended. That's from muru'ah, from his manhood, from his chivalry. Slow to take offense. Always ready for reconciliation. So I'm just mentioning that. Don't just get your principles and your qawaid just by the wording, or get stuck on a stiff wording that someone may bring you from the Quran or the Arabic language based on Quran and Hadith. Rather, those same principles might be expressed in another language from another culture. And that might be easier for you to remember at the moment, or to apply in that particular, on different cases, or more comprehensive for you in understanding. and then use the box, use the Quran and the Sunnah as a proof that that, or as a check to make sure, as a filter, that that principle actually is true. Does that make sense, what I'm saying to you guys, what I'm asking of you?
Yes, sir. It definitely does. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Homework. Homework is to think this whole week and come up with, let's say, three mission statements or qawaid principles that you have learned that don't come directly from the language of the Quran and the Sunnah, but are supported by the Quran and the Sunnah, like I gave you just now. Okay? I gave you three, right? I said, semper gumdum. Pay attention to detail. And I said to be slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation. I gave you four. And I said attention to detail, right? I said, technique ranger. Okay, technique. And technique ranger comes from that statement, the sooner the better. Ittabi' wa la tabtadi', right? Follow and don't be a mubtadi'. Okay? Technique, follow the technique. You know, so, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I want at least two or three from you. You don't go more than three. Don't do less than two. You gotta find them. And type them to me as soon as you remember them, because you might forget them. Right? Type them and then give me the proof. Your proof from the Quran and Sunnah that this phrase, this frame of phrase of reference is worthy. And what will you use it for? And what's the proof from the Quran and Sunnah that this phrase is true? You guys got that? What's the benefit of this drill? What's the benefit of this mentality? What's the fiqh behind doing this? How can this make you a better Muslim?
I think it will make us better Muslims, because it will be practical statements that we are actually looking into the Kitab and Sunnah and making it applicable or practical.
I disagree. I think that I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you articulated well, because I'm asking you to not look in the Quran and Sunnah first. Right. Okay, think about it, because I understand what you want to say, but I want you to articulate that something different. What about you? You know, your other two guys. Baraka, I don't think I've heard from Baraka today. Baraka, are you here?
Sheikh, he's here, but he can't turn his mic on, he said, before you came into class.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah. All right. So, why don't you articulate? What do you think I'm doing here? What's the benefit of this? How does this make you a better Muslim?
Inshallah, this will help us to think outside of the box while staying in the hudud, because we are we're looking for sources of our code. We're building a code from what we have around us, but we're referring back to the Quran and the Sunnah to check that.
Right. I call it standing on the box. Okay? You're not stuck within the box, but your standing, your foundation is the box. And in my imagination, by standing on the box, what I'm asking you to do is what a scientist does. The scientist is paying attention to what? Details. I'm telling you to pay attention to the details of life all around you. Everything all around you is pointing to Allah. Everything around you is an ayah. And you won't appreciate that until you can pull the principles out of all those things. What is that doing, and what principle is there, and how does that refer back to the Quran and Sunnah? You guys get me? There's a statement that says you will never be a scholar until you can learn from the one who is not just the one who is more knowledgeable than you, but the one who is less knowledgeable than you too. So you can learn not just from the one who you can see doing good, but you can learn just as equally from the one that's doing bad. Okay? So you see, you're not just stuck on looking here. You're looking everywhere, and everything becomes a resource for you. You see that? Does that make sense, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you want to give me more than three principles?
Yes, sir.
It's so easy, right?
Yes, sir. This should be inshallah easy. I think it comes in the, just coming from America, people always like slick on the tongue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or have like different mission statements that they live by or that they grew up by. I mean, speaking for myself.
Yeah, but sometimes those statements they say are not true. You know, that's the thing that you have to check. You know, everything they say, and a lot of it is slick talk, some of it is not worth 2 cents. You know? Like they say, when in
for
Rome,
sure.
do like the Romans. No, we don't change up like that. You know, as far as, you know, our deen, we're going to be Muslim wherever we're at. Okay? You know, things
yes,
do
sir.
Change, but we don't do like they do. Because, you know, we find a lot of Muslims doing that. You know, they come to the United States and then they stop even looking like Muslims. Right? And they say, well, in Rome, do like the Romans. No. That's not, you know, you still have to, we have principles of wala wal bara. You know, distinction is part of the deen. We have principles that break some of those. So you have to make sure that whatever you say as a mission statement or as a phrase to reference, that it cannot be broken by the Sharia. The box can't break it. Okay? It's established on top of the box. Right? I want to see Mr. Ahmed, please recite to me the beginning part of the poem. Go ahead, please. Bismillah, go ahead.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I give my word with heart and head Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
No. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings. Yes. Why am I correcting him? You got two people in here who have ijazah in this. I'm listening. Go ahead. You guys take over.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet and respect the scholars ijtihad. As a Muslim, I must study and pray to fight shaitan in every way. We'll make mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. The first thing that I have to do, now that I'm mukallafun, accountable in every way, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with its commands?
Come on, Dial Tughrul and Umar, it's correct. Don't let it go too far. Correct. Go ahead, guys.
The first thing that I have to do now that I'm mukallafun, accountable in every way, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with its commands? What do I think about Allah? Why is correct and what's the flaw? The meaning of shahada is the first thing we must know. There is no God for real that is except the one and only. The khalqu, he created it, and for them he provides, he manages affairs of theirs from high above the sky. Too high, I say, sublime is he for partners on Nadir. And this is what shahada means, but let us make it clear. There are conditions tied to it to which we must adhere. There's knowledge, then yaqeen, and then acceptance must be there. Then inqiyadu, then the siddiq, ikhlasu, and muhabba. Allah, we ask for help and to admit us into Jannah. Then,
Alhamdulillah. Hold on, stop right there for a second. Give him a grade, guys. Talk to him. Have they explained this whole part to you? Do you understand everything up to here?
Sheikh Taylor Bon has explained all that halfway, so not the part... from
no ums, not wise. Okay?
From
not
the part,
a problem.
From the part sorry.
Not
from the
wise.
After this is what shahada means, but let us make it clear. From that onwards.
Okay, go ahead. Tughrul, explain the rest of that. You and Omar, go ahead, explain it. Bismillah. I'm listening.
Bismillah. There are conditions tied to it to which we must adhere. meaning the statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This statement has conditions in order for it to be truly accepted and to benefit the one who says it. And those conditions are given by the Shaykh in order in the poem. Number one, knowledge, ilm. Number two, certainty, yaqeen. Number three, acceptance, qubul. Number four, inqiyad, submission. Number five, sidq, honesty. Number six, ikhlas, dedication. Number seven, mahabba, love. And I would like to request that either Omar or Sheikh Abu Toba give the explanation of these terms, because I've looked and I have not found a detailed explanation of the shurut al-shahada. And I'd like to have one. Jazakumullah
khair. Okay, before I do, I'd like to hear Omar. Omar, you should be able to do this. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Pardon me, I was talking to my family. Well, I was listening, but I wasn't able to listen. I was walking.
Okay, so he wants you to explain to him the seven keys of La ilaha illallah.
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi ma ba'd. So the seven conditions, the seven keys to La ilaha illallah, is seven prerequisites that a person who says La ilaha illallah, he has to be able to, he has to understand the statement. He has to basically live by the statement. So the first condition is al-ilm, knowledge. You have to know what La ilaha illallah entails, which is what he just mentioned before when he says, there are no gods for real that is except the one and only. The khalq he created, Allah created everything. For them, he provides, Allah is the razaq. Allah is the provider of everything. He manages affairs of theirs. Allah is the controller and the manager of everything that's going on. From high above the sky. Okay. Having knowledge of La ilaha illallah, there's nothing deserves of worship except Allah. Knowledge, the yaqeen, you have to have certainty, you have to be convinced, and that's only based off knowledge. Person won't be convinced or have full certainty in something if they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge. So that's the first step, you have to have knowledge. After the knowledge, you get certainty. After that, knowledge and
I like to say it this way. I want you guys to remember it this way. Knowledge leads to each one of these keys are the teeth on the key of the La ilaha illallah. So knowledge leads to yaqeen. And yaqeen is more than knowledge. Okay? It's certainty. It's knowledge on top of it. Okay? Continue.
Yes, sir. So knowledge leads to yaqeen, certainty. From certainty, this leads to acceptance. When you're convinced about something, it's easy to accept that thing. Easy to accept that thing. After having acceptance to it, we have to have the fourth condition or the fourth key. I'm sorry, the fourth teeth to the key will be inqiyad, which is submission. Inqiyad is for us to allow our lives to be driven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us to do something, we do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to do something, we do it. This is part of our submission. This is part of accepting La ilaha illallah. After having knowledge.
I want to add to that. No. Sir. I want to add to that since Tyler Boyd is asking as well. Because I'm teaching you two. You two have to teach the others. Okay? So I'm critiquing your definition. Your definition is naqis, is deficient, because inqiyad is not just submission, guys. You don't want to give a word that doesn't have a practical description. Because now, we for years we go around saying things in English, but we don't know what that means. What's the practical application of, submission? Okay, so you said first, acceptance. Acceptance is clear. That's an actionable thing. I've accepted what's going on. I like to give the example of a person who accepts his sentence in jail. Once he's given his last appeal and they say, no, you have life, he now accepts that and he starts to see, okay, how can I live in this prison since I have accepted the idea, the concept that I have a life sentence? How now, for the believer, can I accept life on this earth, this prison earth, now that I know that I have a life sentence here too, right? None of us get out of it alive, right? And we can't leave. Okay, so the next thing is, like you said, inqiyab. Inqiyab is here, we're talking about being the steering wheel. So submission is being driven. You're accepting the direction that Allah gives you. If Allah turns you right, you turn right. If he says stand in offer salah, you stand in offer salah. If he says pay zakat, you bring it out of your wealth. You are allowing yourself to be driven. The steering wheel is called inqiyad. Okay? This is what you have. Qiyada. Jazakallah khair, barakallah fikum. You know, I'm a saganal. So the steering wheel is this is the qiyad. The motion of driving, the steering wheel is being turned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in retro, we're saying, and we're allowing ourselves to be turned. We're not resisting. That's what we're referring to. Not resisting what? Submission to what? Submission to the laws of the Sharia. Submission to the orders of the Prophet, the recommendations, the warnings. Making all aspects of our life turn in the direction that Allah said. For example, when Musa was told to take the stick and strike the water, do you think he knew what was going to happen? But did he stop to say, hey, Allah, how is this striking his stick going to do anything? These cats is chasing us down the block. No, he just did it. Right? So you tell people, look, wa aqimu salah, istaghfirullah. Why are you telling me istaghfirullah? I didn't do nothing. It was her. You know, when you're dealing with people with marital issues, him, this
that
problem,
happens.
You should,
that
you,
happens.
I know. People say that. You know? I thought it happens. You know? They said, you stuck for the law. As opposed to what Allah's messenger said. Who to say A'udhu Billah? Say Bismillah. You know? And so we have to have that. That's what we're referring to here. Okay? Doing what Allah said. Accepting that without resisting. That's what we're talking about when we say inqiyad. And you can do that when you've accepted that Allah is Malikul Mulk. Okay? When you accept that Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin, when you accept that you will die and you are ilayhi raji'un, every step you take, breath you make, morning you wake up, night you go to sleep, you're getting closer and closer to your accountant. Right? So now you can accept that in qiyad. Now you can submit to that. You can go and comply. Compliance is better than submission as a term if you want. Compliance.
JazakAllah.
Compliance. Right now, finish it up.
Yes, sir. JazakAllah khair. So after in qiyad, this leads to a siddiq. Siddiq is honesty. And it's for your inside to be is just like your outside. Because some people, they submit, they comply outwardly. However, inwardly, they really haven't complied. They really haven't, again, accepted it. And they're not really honest in what they do. So we have to be honest in our compliance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger with their orders. Then this...
No. You know, I'm jumping in every time because I want to make sure. Okay. Yes, sir. So I just want you to think about this. This is good. Inqiyad is compliance, right? We're going to call it compliance. Sidq is the quality of your compliance. Okay? See, these descriptions are supportive of each other. So I just want you to remember it that way. Sidq, ikhlas, muhabba, are all descriptions and the characteristics of your compliance. Does that make sense? And one is stair step and leads to the other. And you can't get to the other without going through the first one that's in front of it. Continue.
Sorry, I was writing. Yes, sir. So after Siddiq, which is honesty and truthfulness, next is ikhlas, sincerity, being wholehearted, not having any mixed intentions, any ulterior motives. Your sole goal and sole objective is Allah's pleasure, is the Jannah, being saved from the fire, and Allah's muhabbah, and Allah's love.
Okay, now you missed a piece there. So you said, after you said asidq, what did you say? Ikhlas, right?
Yes, sir.
So ikhlas is wholeheartedness, like you said, not having, you know, ulterior motives. But it also, this portion, it demands that you do your level best. Ikhlas means that you're really trying to do your, you're doing your level best. Wama umiru? That's the delil. Wama umiru?
La liya'bud Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-din.
Right, what does Allah say? And you have not been commanded to do anything except for your mukhlisina lahu ad-din. Your level best. Your honest to God level best. Okay? So when you get to ikhlas, yes, we say sincerity, we say wholeheartedly, the actionable part of it is that you are actually striving to do your level best, which means you are making jihadun nafs. You are in jihadun nafs when you get to ikhlas. What are you in this jihad against? Who are you against? Who are you fighting?
Fight shaitan in every way. Expect mistakes along the way, as well as yourself.
Okay. You're fighting yourself. You're fighting the whispers. You're using surah to nas. Okay? This is what you're doing. You're fighting the whispers that's in your chest. That's what you're fighting. Okay? You're fighting your own nafsun lawama. Okay? This is what your inner intention. So that's what we said, duality. Ikhlas is wholeheartedness. Its opposite is duality, nifaq. Okay? The opposite of ikhlas is nifaq. Sah wa la la?
Sah.
I'm asking you.
Truth.
Sah.
Okay. So then, ikhlas is the battlefield of sidq. Okay? The win, you're striving, making jihad to destroy the nifaq from in yourself, not to let it grow, to destroy it and get it out of there. You're in an inner battle with that. And the enemy is nifaq. The enemy is the whispers that are going back in your head, in your sudur in nas. Min al jinnati wa nas. From the jinn devils and the human devils. Both of them. And what are you using? I said you're using surah to nas. You're using every form of Tawheed, A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas, every type of Tawheed, Uluhiyya, Ubudiyya, Asma'ullahi al-Husna. Fahmt? You guys understand it?
Yes, Sheikh.
No.
That's your weaponry. That's your foundation to win that battle. And the natija, the object, the product of that is mahabba. Okay? This, when done correctly, will arrive you at, inshallah, al-mahabba. Waffaqaqa Allahu lima ahabba. Okay? Where you love what Allah loves and you hate what Allah hates. And you take the way Allah wants you and you only turn to Allah. You only see what Allah wants you to see. You understand that, guys? This is the keys to La ilaha illallah. Does that help you, Mr. Toguru?
You said that the mahabba here, which is the seventh tooth on the key of La ilaha illallah, refers to loving what Allah loves and hating what Allah hates?
Yes, sir.
MashaAllah.
And you can't get there without sincerity, without ikhlas, without getting rid of nifaq. It's the result of the battle with nifaq. Like losing is falling into kuf. Maradun fi qulubihim maradun. Allah says in their hearts is disease. You see, that's what ikhlas is, right? To get rid of that disease from the heart. So once you get it out of there, you have a full, pure heart of mahabbah, love, filled with the love you have for Allah, the hope you have for Allah, the fear you have for Allah. Okay? Because iman is between love and fear. Okay? You follow me, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And so mahabbah is when you're at the point, it's the pinnacle where you don't like what Allah doesn't like. Intrinsically, it irritates you. You're not putting on airs. It's natural. This is where you're at. But see, it's not a static moment. You're constantly fighting the nifaq. That's the trick. It doesn't end till you die. This battle. And losing means losing your soul. Soul is the prize. Nafs. What'd you say? What's the question, sir?
You said you're not fighting on airs or standing on airs. What does that mean?
What I mean you by said, that, you're not putting on airs. You're not pretending. You're not being dramatic.
Okay.
You're not exaggerating. You really feel this way.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That's what I mean by that. Meaning that it's automatic. It has become
I dropped my bank card.
MashaAllah. May Allah make it. You find it. You drop it in the snow. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
It's not snowing right here. Nah, I'll do that.
What do you mean it's not snowing? It's Buffalo, right? It's always snowing. No, alhamdulillah. Barakallah fi
sikum. Nice.
Hey, alhamdulillah. May Allah make... Did you find your card, sir?
Yes, sir. I was able to get it. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
I'm in a little bad neighborhood, though, so I got to look around. Yeah, really.
No.
The master had it across the street. It's right there, though, but...
You better run across the street and get the master. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Ameen. I hope that it makes it clear to you the keys of La Ilaha Illallah. Okay? When we say the keys of La Ilaha Illallah, how you can understand it, the key is La Ilaha Illallah, and these are the teeth on the key. And now it'll open the door to your heart. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Is that the... Hey, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah bless you guys. This is our lesson for today. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I know that we didn't go over the lesson for you other men. We'll find time to do that before Saturday, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? Inshallah. May Allah bless you. And may Allah make it easy for you to open your eyes to fiqh everywhere around you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.